How do you do? Ever had a piece of pottery that you loved and held on to even though it was cracked or chipped? You couldn't really use it, but you couldn't bear to part with it either. The life of the man in this story was like that. He made so many mistakes that he was sure he would never be useful. But he was wrong. He didn't know that the flaws were fixed, and he was like new when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, true life stories that light the darkness, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. For more than 120 years, Pacific Garden Mission has been a lifesaver in the heart of Chicago, rescuing the perishing. They keep the light burning at the old lighthouse and the doors open day and night because they never know when some lost soul will be swept overboard and need refuge. They're always ready with a helping hand, nourishing food and a change of clothing, and a clean bunk for the night. And they're always ready with encouragement and kindness, counsel and prayer. The motto at Pacific Garden Mission is, never give up on them. And those who find new life are like the man in this story, forever grateful that someone was there for them. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2488 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Three to 20 years. I still can't believe it.
Me neither, Elias. If we had actually stolen something, I could understand, but we didn't.
We planned to, though, Robin. And we tried.
Oh, Elias, there it is. The women's prison, it looks so bleak.
If it's any consolation, I don't think the men's prison will be any better.
The hardest part is going to be the separation. Not seeing you.
We'll get through this somehow, Robin. We'll be together again.
I don't want to leave you.
Bailey, Shapiro, out. This is as far as you go.
Write to me, Robin. As much as you can.
You know I will, Elias. I love you.
Me too, Robin. Wait for me.
Last week, we heard the testimony of Robin Correa, how she and Elias were foolish enough to participate in a robbery and were caught. In this conclusion of a two-part story, you'll hear the true story of Elias Correa and how he fell into the trap, which many young people do, and how he was unshackled.
I was born in Michigan in 1970. My parents divorced when I was two. Mom kept my baby sister, but Dad had custody of my two other sisters and me because Mom had medical problems. Dad worked full-time, but we were still poor and lived in a house without running water. When I was in fifth grade, we moved to Toledo, where we lived in a much better house, but in a terrible neighborhood. 2 years were enough.
What's wrong, son?
Some guys jumped me again, Dad. They went through my box of stuff and stole some things. What am I going to tell the school?
Did you see who it was?
A couple of big guys, maybe 15 or 16. One of them held me down and the other took what they wanted and ran off.
Don't worry, Elias. I'll tell the school what happened. You won't have to pay for what they took.
I hate living here, Dad. Every day it's something. Remember how that man took my bike? We have to keep our guard up all the time.
I know. Maybe it's time to move back to Adrian.
You mean that? I'd sure love to go home.
Well, you won't have central heat and running water anymore.
I don't care about that, Dad. I'm sick of being picked on all the time. We moved into an old house with the leaky roof, but I was glad to be back in my hometown and school. I never was very good at school, but I made friends with a guy named Joe, and we began shoplifting just for the fun of it. Then we got careless in a big department store, and the security guard grabbed us and called the police. I'll never forget the way people stared at us as we climbed into the police cruiser, or the way my stomach churned as I listened to my parents in the hallway at the police station.
What in the world's going on, Ralph?
All I know is the neighbors came over and said the police arrested him for shoplifting.
I just can't believe Elias would get mixed up in something like this. He's never done this type of thing, never.
I'm really disappointed in him.
It must be his friends. He's hanging around with the wrong kids.
Maybe.
What are they going to do with them?
They're banned from this store until they're 17.
But they don't have to go to jail.
No.
Dad, I'm sorry for what I did.
I'm ashamed of you, Elias. How could you do something like that?
I really was sorry for hurting my dad. He worked hard to give us the little we had, and stealing was like saying I wasn't happy with what he provided. Hurting him was more than enough punishment for me, and I stayed out of trouble after that. When I was 14, I became very sick and asked Dad to take me to a doctor.
You don't need no doctor for a bellyache, Elias.
But my side hurts so bad. 2 weeks now.
You'll get better if you just wait. Remember, you were sick like that last year for 2 weeks, and one day the pain went away.
This is different. I can't sleep or eat or nothing.
I'm telling you, wait. You'll get over it just like last year. There's no sense in going to the hospital.
Dad, I can't even drink water without throwing up. Oh. Please, I never had so much pain. Oh, it hurts so bad. Daddy, please.
All right. I'll take you to the hospital.
They removed my appendix that night and told Dad if he had waited another 10 minutes, I would have died. I could tell he felt bad about waiting so long. 9 days later, when I got home, Dad said he had prayed for me. We never went to church, so spiritual things were a mystery to me. At 15, I explored the occult with friends and became depressed and suicidal, so I knew that wasn't the way to go. At 16, I tried a different way.
How come you quit hanging out with those kids, Elias?
I didn't want to deal with that stuff anymore. That occult business is weird, man.
Yeah, I'm glad I stayed away from it.
I mean, we were trying to call up the devil. How dumb can you be?
My grandma warned me about things like that.
Say, your grandma's cool. Always happy.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen anyone so happy.
Yeah, she's all right.
Always reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You ever try reading the Bible, Chris?
Mm.
Man, battles and bloodshed like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, well, where do you think the video games got their inspiration, dude? Good versus evil?
I'll stick to the video games. And beer. Now that's good.
All right. Let's go find someone to buy us a six-pack.
That was the start of my drinking. We'd go out 3 or 4 nights a week and do stupid things. Hang out with other guys, waiting for something to happen. A party to crash. I drank too much, but never filled the emptiness inside. Much of the summer I spent with my mom, and we'd go to the town rescue mission for supper on Tuesday evenings.
The people here are really down to earth and friendly, aren't they?
Yeah. They remind me of Chris's grandma. She's always so cheerful and happy. I like being around her.
Must be nice to not have any problems.
You know, I asked her about that, and she said, "There's nothing that can happen today that me and the Lord can't handle."
Me and the Lord.
You ever read the Bible, Mom?
I don't have time, Elias.
His grandma's always reading the Bible. Says she trusts in the Lord. That's why she's happy.
More power to her.
Well, I tried to read the Bible, but I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
You better just work on getting through school.
I'm going to graduate, Mom. Don't worry. But I sure wonder what his grandma sees in the Bible. I studied hard to get my grades up, then joined the football team. More parties, more drinking. Senior year came, and I was within 2 weeks of graduating when I blew it.
Elias, someone from the school came by today and said you might not graduate.
Yeah. We weren't supposed to have alcohol on school grounds, and the seniors had a party on the football field.
You're involved in that?
It's tradition, Dad.
Oh.
Everybody was drinking, not just me. Then the police came and everybody ran. But my car was there, and that's how they caught me.
You took a terrible chance.
I know. I'm sorry, Dad.
What's going to happen?
We're suspended for 2 weeks. But we are allowed to go in and take final exams.
You would be the first in the family to graduate from high school, son.
I know, Dad. Don't worry. I'll get my diploma. I graduated, and my mom and dad were both there smiling. In the fall, I went to a community college with a close friend, but dropped out during the first semester. My friend continued to go, but I didn't want to study. I wanted to party. With no goals, I drank too much, then began doing drugs with a new friend. This new friendship would prove to be a decision on my part. Soon we were breaking into cars, stealing to support our habit. We looked and acted like real losers. One night we drove to Toledo, Ohio to a dance club, but the security guard realized we were minors and wouldn't let us in. So we drove back to Michigan and went to a party where I met Robin. She was one girl I didn't want to lose, so the next night I went to see her.
Well, hi.
Remember me? Elias Correa. I came to your party last night. Could I come in for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, sure, I remember you. Come on in. I'm just watching television.
I know it's late and you have to go to work tomorrow, so I won't stay long. That was a great party you had. I could tell by my headache this morning.
It sure was a mess to clean up. Drinks and ashtrays spilled all over the place.
You know it's a good party when the police come in to break it up.
Yeah, but it won't be so great to go to juvenile hall. They wrote me up, you know, for drinking underage.
Don't worry about it, Robin. Chalk it up to experience. Robin and I began dating steadily the spring of 89. She moved in with a friend who had a one-bedroom apartment, and about eight of us moved in with her, sleeping on the floor. It was a wild summer. Booze flowed like a river. And when we had money, some smoked marijuana and even used cocaine. We had no rules. We just did as we pleased. And sometimes we stole to buy what we wanted. I was busted for drinking, put on probation, then busted again. The judge was not happy with me.
What happened in court, Elias?
You won't believe it. The judge ordered me to take a breathalyzer test every 12 hours for the next 6 months.
6 months? That's a long time.
He said if the test ever reads positive, I go to jail that instant.
Wow. That's not worth it, Elias.
I don't want to go to jail, that's for sure. I have to quit drinking, but it's sure going to be hard.
Maybe it's a good thing, honey. You drink too much sometimes.
I know it bothers you, Robin. And I don't want to do anything that worries you. I love you. As soon as they took me off the breathalyzer test, I went back to the bottle. Not as much, but I still drank. It seemed we always needed money. And one night, a friend suggested we rob the gas station where his ex-girlfriend worked. He wanted to get back at her, and we thought it would be easy. One of the girls would wait in the getaway car, and Robin would stand lookout while my friend and I got the money. It was a cold February night.
Lights are out. She's closing up now.
Put out the cigarette. Here she comes.
Hey, it's not her. It's somebody else.
Come on, let's go.
Come on. Come on, get it open. Get the car open.
I can't find the right key.
The car's coming.
Forget it. Let's get out of here.
All right. Hey, where's the car? She's gone.
That guy is after us. Run for your life.
Elias was running the wrong way, which he'll tell us about in a moment. Holding forth the word has been the purpose of Pacific Garden Mission since we opened our doors 121 years ago. In celebration of God's faithfulness, we invite you to our anniversary celebration and ministry fair on Saturday, September 12th. Beginning at 11:30 a.m. and ending with an evening praise and testimony service, we have festivities planned that you will never forget, including complete guided tours of all the facilities, mini concerts by the Old Lighthouse Redemption Choir, and two Unshackled productions. Join us for both at 1:30 p.m. and again at 4:30 p.m. Every division of our ministry will be featured in the ministry fair, and there's no charge for anything from the parking across the street to the brunch and dinner, so plan to spend the day. No matter how small or large your group, we'll have room for you. Come to 646 South State Street in Chicago. That date again is September 12th. For more information, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
I made it back to the apartment, but Robin wasn't there, so I went out looking for her. I didn't know that she had been arrested at the gas station. At 1 o'clock in the morning, the police came and I surrendered. I had never been in jail before and I was scared. I didn't sleep at all the first night in the holding cell. The next day, bond was set at $50,000, and I knew I was in for a long stay.
Elias, I can hardly believe my eyes seeing you like that.
I know, Mom. I really messed up this time.
How is your father taking this?
He's worried and disappointed.
I'd like to help you, but there's no way I can raise that kind of money.
I know. You have your own problems, and so does Dad.
Well, it's the first time, so maybe the judge will be lenient.
I hope so. I'm really scared.
Is it pretty bad in there?
It's no picnic, Mom. Everything is made of steel, even the bunks. The place looks like it should be condemned.
Are you in a cell by yourself?
No, there's about a dozen guys, but I might as well be alone.
I keep wondering where we went wrong, that you should end up in there.
Don't blame yourself, Mom. I was just stupid, that's all.
Surely you knew it was wrong to try something like that?
Yeah, but we thought we could get away with it.
I cried myself to sleep several nights, thinking about my life. Nothing seemed fair. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't seem to get ahead. Every time I had an opportunity, I messed it up. My life was a total failure. I had been there a week when a guy invited me to a church service being held in the recreation room. I went just to get out of the cell.
I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who left his home in heaven to come down here to earth to suffer and die in your place and mine. Why? Well, because God says the penalty for sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. And the Bible also says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all under a death penalty. That's the bad news. Now hear the good news. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Do you know what it cost him, the creator of the universe, to redeem your life? He was beaten, cursed, and spat upon. He was mocked as they jammed a crown of thorns onto his head. Then they nailed him to a cross where he hung for hours, in your place. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. God loves you, and he wants you to have eternal life in heaven with him. That's why Christ died for you. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you would like to make the decision to trust in Christ today, raise your hand.
I raised my hand that day, inviting Christ into my heart and life. And I went back to my cell with peace in my soul. At last, I knew why Chris's grandmother was so happy and why she read the Bible. I couldn't put it down either. All I did was read the Bible and write to Robin. She was saved on the same day I was. Although we were in the same jail, we weren't allowed to see each other until the day before sentencing.
Tomorrow's the big day.
Yes. I've been praying that God will let us go home.
Then we can start over, this time the right way.
Whatever happens, will you wait for me? Will you marry me, even if I have to go to prison?
Well, surely we won't.
But if I do...
I love you, Elias. I'll wait for you.
I made this engagement ring out of thread. When we get out, I'll buy you a real one.
Oh, it's beautiful, Elias. How I miss you and your wonderful way of seeing the best in things.
I just wish we hadn't messed up, Robin. If we'd only known the Lord, we wouldn't be in this mess.
He'll get us through this.
Be strong tomorrow, okay? At least we know God is on our side, no matter what happens. We were stunned when the judge sentenced us to prison for a period of 3 to 20 years. He said he wanted to make an example of us. The next day, we shared a van upstate, dropping Robin off first at the women's prison. My first cell was an old gymnasium that held 400 inmates. And the first night, everything I had was stolen except my Bible. 7 months and 3 transfers later, I was sent to a facility closer to home. I thank God there were men who faithfully came in once a month to teach the Bible, sing, and pray with us.
You men remember that God has a plan for your life, and it's good because he loves you. And remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen. Now, you use this time to grow in faith and study the Bible so that when you get out, you'll be ready to serve him. All right, I'll see you next month.
All right,
Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
Pastor, remember last month I asked you for cassette tapes of sermons you preached?
Yeah. I'm sorry the prison won't allow me to bring tapes in.
Well, some guy was being released, and he had a big collection of tapes he got from you. He gave them to me. Boy, have I been feeding on good Bible teaching.
That's great.
I listened to one tape a dozen times, and I was laughing and crying at the same time. I really think God wants me to share the gospel like that.
Well, you do it. Don't ignore God's call on your life.
God can't use someone like me. Not after the way I messed up.
God can use anyone he chooses. Paul told Timothy that he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but he did it ignorantly in unbelief. He obtained the mercy of God abundantly. In fact, Paul considered himself the chief of sinners, but he would be a pattern to those who would later believe in Christ. That way, God gets the glory.
I have to think about that.
No matter where you've been or what you've done, he can use you.
I was paroled at the end of January 1992, rehired by my former employer, and released on a tether, an electronic device I wore that monitored where I went. Robin was paroled the first week of February, and we met at the halfway house.
It's so good to see you again.
We made it, Robin. I knew we'd be together again.
Isn't it wonderful to be out? I'm so happy.
Me too. I already have a job, Robin.
Have you been to church yet?
Yes. Can you join me there this Sunday?
Yes, and Wednesday too. And any other day there's a service. I can't get enough of being able to worship the Lord with other Christians.
I'm sorry, hon. They only let us go to church once a week while we're on tether.
That's the rules?
Yes. And I'm going to follow the rules from now on. I wouldn't want to bring shame to the Lord. On her birthday in May 1992, I asked Robin to marry me and gave her an engagement ring to replace the ring of thread I'd made. We wore our tethers until late July, and we were married September 4th that year. We were in church every time the doors were open, and I began teaching Sunday school, but something was bothering me. You know Brother John's has a prison and jail ministry?
Yes.
He invited me to go with him this week.
Are you going?
I don't know. He said with a testimony like mine, it could really help some of them in there.
Maybe you should try it once.
I told him God called me to preach, but I just never surrendered to it.
What did he say?
He said if God wants you to do something, the best thing to do is just do it. One Wednesday evening, a missionary spoke, and I went forward and surrendered to full-time service to God. Afterward, I agreed to go to the jail to speak to the inmates. When we arrived, I went to the spot where I was saved and prayed. Dear God, not long ago, in this spot, you took a broken man like me and transformed my life. You gave me a reason to live when I thought all hope was gone. Please, do the same today to someone who thinks all hope is lost. Use me to be a blessing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, honey. How was it?
Great. Some of the guards even remembered me and thought it was a good thing I came back to help the inmates.
How many men came to the service?
About 30. Brother John's introduced me, and I got up and preached a simple salvation message. Then I asked if anyone wanted to receive Christ, and 13 men were saved.
Elias, that's wonderful.
We held a service for the women, too, but only 6 came. But 2 of them gave their lives to Christ.
Oh, aren't you glad you listened to God?
Yes. Can you believe he would use me, a nobody, to do his work?
Oh, you're somebody in my eyes, and in God's eyes, too.
I want to go to Bible college, Robin. The one I heard about in Indiana.
We're still on parole, Elias. We're not supposed to leave the state.
We'll pray and let God work that out. We applied to transfer our parole to Indiana, and God did work things out. We were completely released from parole early. I'm still in Bible college, preparing to work as a missionary to those in prison. I thank God there were men willing to serve in a jail ministry when I was incarcerated. Men who shared the gospel as I plan to do. God has given Robin and me 2 children, a son and a daughter. But most of all, he's given us new life.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And that means you. If you would like to have forgiveness for your sins and become a child of God, pray with us right now. Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner and cannot redeem myself. I believe you sent Jesus to die in my place, that his death on the cross has purchased my pardon. His resurrection is my redemption. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Come into my heart and life, Lord, and help me to be like you. In his name I pray. Amen. If you prayed with us, rejoice, you are now a child of God. Find a church that teaches the Bible and read it yourself. And please write to us so we can send you some literature to help you walk in faith. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. This is program number 2488. Heard in the true story of Elias and Robin Correa, Part 2, where Kim Rasmussen, Lisa Keefe, Nancy Baird, Larry Moran, Rick Plastina and Russ Reed. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The world may let you down, but you can always call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.